Hey, everybody, it's your host, Aisha. So we were sad about the end of Downton Abbey. It actually just, at recording time, it just ended last night. And it's been such an incredible show. We've been on an emotional journey, if you will. And we thought, who better to sort of keep it going than composer John Lunn, who did all of the music for the show. So we called John up. Actually, he called us, and we talked about the music. They actually have a CD that just came out with highlights of the music from all six seasons. Anyway, just had a great time talking with John. He's a really nice guy, and I think you'll enjoy this conversation. Whether you're a Downton fan or not, it's actually a really interesting look at what composing just classical music on your own, as opposed to composing with a team in TV, is like. If you do enjoy the episode, make sure to subscribe to us and to rate and review us on iTunes, because it's what Lord Grantham would do. All right, enjoy the episode. I'm Daisha Clay, host of The Classical Classroom, a show where experts teach me about classical music. I used to know very little about classical music, and now I'd like to think that I know slightly more than very little. What I have learned is that classical music isn't the obscure, static art form that I thought that it was. In fact, it's a dynamic force that's doing amazing things in the world right now. Welcome to a Classical Classroom sub-series, Music Works. We'll go behind the scenes at concerts, hear amazing artist stories, and look at all the ways that classical music is working in the world today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Classical Classroom Music Works episode. I'm your host, Aisha, and here with me today is composer John Lunn. John is a Scottish composer, probably best known to our listeners for his score to Downton Abbey, for which he received 2 Primetime Emmy Awards. He's written for many other TV shows, including The White Queen, The Grantchester Mysteries, and The Lady Vanishes most recently. He's also written operas and a violin concerto. If you're a Downton fan, you'll be glad to know that the 2-CD Downton Abbey The Ultimate Collection is out now, hot off the presses, and it's got music featuring highlights of all of the seasons, all 6 seasons. John Lunn, welcome to the Classical Classroom.
Hi. Very pleased to be here.
So where in the world are you today?
I'm in London. I've been sort of based here for about 30 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm originally from Glasgow, but, you know, I came down here about 30 years ago and I've hardly moved since.
So as of now, the season, like right now we're recording, the season finale, actually the series finale of Downton Abbey aired just last night.
Yeah.
So now that Downton is over with, I assume that you'll be going back to your band Man Jumping?
That band dissolved about, oh my God, 27 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds so great, so contemporary. Like,
it did. I mean, it was
a lot of electronica. Brian Eno was into it.
Yeah, I mean, we were signed to Brian Eno's record label. It was a really great band, but we were 7 men, all composers, all heterosexual, all with giant egos, and after 4 years on the road, we all hated each other.
Oh no, this is terrible. So you guys did you go around and play festivals, clubs?
Yeah, I mean we were pretty big in Britain and Europe, you know, in the 80s. Yeah.
Nice.
But it was a really useful exercise. I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if I hadn't, you know, I hadn't gone through it.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got to that point. Like, I know that didn't you attend MIT?
Yeah, I studied music at Glasgow University, and I went to university rather than music college, because I suddenly found at 18 I found myself more interested in how music was put together, and I'd also kind of made up my mind that music wasn't just something that people, you know, performed; it was also something that people created.
Yeah,
and then and that was a great time, and I went for a year to MIT. And studies the sort of use of computers, with music. It was the very early days. This was actually 1980, I think. So it was very early. Again, that was incredibly useful. You know, met some really interesting people there. And then I came back to Glasgow, then came down to London, was in that band Man Jumping, and ended up writing a lot of music for modern dance companies like Bally Romburn, London Contemporary Dance Theatre. And from there, it was just a kind of one step into, you know, writing for television and films.
Well, yeah, how did that happen? You have written for both film and TV. That was TV, did that come first?
Actually, the TV was the first thing. I had a little bit of a stroke of luck. Somebody had been fired on a job and I sent a cassette to the producer. It just happened to land on his desk on that very day. You know, it's one of those stories. And
nice.
And he liked it. And of course, it was a bit easier in those days because, you know, the budgets weren't quite so tight and there was a lot more time. Mm-hmm. It was easier to take a chance in those days on Sunday, and he gave me a chance, and kind of that was it. You know, I took it and haven't really looked back.
Well, and what was that first gig like? I mean, were you still using electronic instruments? Were you using traditional classical instruments?
A bit of both.
How did that go down?
A bit of both, yeah. I mean, okay. Did we use a computer to even write it? I don't think we even used a computer to...
What show is that for?
It was called The Gift.
Okay.
I mean, you'd never hear it. It was a BBC one, you know, just a 90-minute one-off, you know, little film.
Yeah.
It was actually based in Scotland, the little film. So we did... It was a combination of electronic and real instruments.
Huh. Interesting. And like, how was that process different than what... Did you write the operas that you've written and the violin concerto before you came to this?
Or? No, they were going on at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how is it different writing for TV as opposed to just writing for yourself or writing for a commission for a company?
The TV is a lot better paid. and I, you know, you can, but you know, there's so many different facets of contemporary music in the classical world now. Yeah. I'm not actually sure anymore which category I sort of fit into. In fact, that's one of the things I've discovered recently is that I've done so much different music and different styles that. If somebody asked me to do something of my own devices just for a concert piece, it's funny, I've got no idea what I'd do because, you know, I've done classical music, I do Downton Abbey, I do lots of electronica, you know, yeah. It's kind of, I'm not sure, you know, that, I mean, that's a kind of a slight weird thing that's happened to me that I wasn't really expecting.
You know, that's interesting. It kind of reminds me of being an actor. Like, you play so many roles. So many different, like, for each job that you get, you put on this new
persona,
person's clothing.
Yeah, that's not you. And
yeah.
Then, yeah, and what is you? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you find yourself going back to? Like, who were your initial influences and, like, who do you find yourself listening to now?
These days, I'm still a massive fan of Miles Davis. Duke Ellington. I listen to quite a lot of jazz. Also, I listen to a lot of, you know, American funk, you know, things like Sly and the Family Stone. Big fan of Joni Mitchell. Absolutely love Joni Mitchell. You know, and then, you know, lots of classical, love Bach, Chopin.
Mm-hmm.
I try and play a piece of Bach every day on the piano.
Really?
Yeah.
What Bach are you playing right now?
I'm playing the B minor Prelude and Fugue from Book 2.
Oh, nice, nice. What draws you to that? What draws you back to Bach every
day?
You
know, when I was at university, we hated it at the time, but we used to have to do a fugue in the style of Bach. We had to do two a week, you know, in term time. We used to kind of swear about having to, you know, do it, and it was an incredibly good exercise, you know, because Bach was like the foundation, certainly the foundation of most sort of Western harmony, you know, including jazz, and kind of, you know, so I had an incredibly good grounding in harmony. And that, actually, that's what makes it easy for me to write music in any style, because I can kind of understand how the harmonic structure of it works.
Uh-huh. You kind of have a good grasp of that, like, basic foundational,
yeah,
the components of music, yeah. Well, we have to, of course, given the fact that Downton just ended last night, we've got to spend some time talking about your work on that show.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So I know that when you first started this, nobody necessarily expected for it to turn into this giant six-season sort of phenomenon that it was. What was it like first going on to the set? What are your memories of that, I guess?
I was offered the job. I think they were halfway through filming, because the music's virtually the last thing that goes on, and it's usually everything's been filmed and it's just, you know, it's been edited. The film's been edited, so it's quite normal for the people to be thinking about the music, you know, as they're filming things, you know. And so I was never on set for the first, but what we did do was when the final episode of series one was aired here in Britain. This was before it went out in America, but it was massive here. Yeah. I mean, we thought it was going to be. They had a kind of party for the screening of the final episode, and that's when I met everybody. Then,
okay.
Because up until then, I was just literally working with the producer and the director and the executive producers. You know, I hadn't met any of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
But then for series two. And we knew then how big it was going to be, because the series one had gone out in America.
Yeah.
I did go on set a few times. There was some music that had to be organised. There's one bit where Lady Mary sings a song and Edith was playing the piano, and Edith was miming to me actually playing the piano. And then I had to play the piano for Shirley MacLaine as well. she came to sing a song. And so, you know, I got on set quite a bit, actually, certainly in series two and three, which is unusual. It's unusual for me ever to go on a set.
But your music became such it's just inextricably linked with that whole, the mood of the show, and you know, I mean, that theme song is just, it's so perfect. I remember watching the first episode, and there's the train coming in, and the music sort of sounds like a train coming in.
I mean, virtually most of the music comes from that very, very first scene.
Yeah.
You know, with the train, and there's Bates looking out the window, kind of lonely man. You know, the clouds, the telegram carrying the information that the heir to Downton Abbey has been drowned in the Titanic, and then, you know, the harmony kind of opens out, you know, at the end when you get this beautiful shot of the house. So it all came from that first scene.
I don't really know how television work. I've talked with a film composer before, and I kind of have an idea of how that works. How is TV different? Like, did you get small segments of the show along the way, or?
It's exactly the same as a film.
It's exactly
the same. I mean, I'll get an episode that's what we call locked, i.e. the pictures are not going to change, you know, the dialogue's all, the timing, because the music's all about the timing, you know, moving between scene. And also in Downton in particular, it's very carefully choreographed underneath the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I need to have the finished picture basically to work to, and then, you know, I just improvise to the pictures. I never switch the dialogue off. I always compose to the picture, so I'm kind of improvising, you know, just and responding to what I see. You know, I've got quite good at kind of telling, you know, I think one of the things that makes a composer is somebody kind of almost kind of improvising, but, you know, has the ability to be able to latch on to, know when they've got something, you know, good.
Yeah.
They can make something of, and I think I've got quite good at that now. I can tell when I've got the bare bones of an idea.
That's interesting because it kind of makes me think about, you know, you were saying you're a fan of Miles Davis and various jazz musicians, and jazz very much comes from that.
Yeah, very responsive.
Yeah. It's like a musicians responding to each other or to, you know, like a really basic sort of skeleton of an idea and then improvising from that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's like really, I mean, that's kind of what I'm doing. Yeah.
So they gave you like a big chunk of the show? Go to town?
Yeah. not quite. I get an episode by episode and, you know, I'll be given a chance to look at it. Uh-huh. Then I'll have a meeting with the, you know, director, executive producer. We'll go through the whole episode, work out where we want music mm-hmm. and what the music should be doing. You know, what do they want the music to be doing? What are we not seeing in the pictures that, you know, the music needs to do? Because it's part of the storytelling, really, the music.
Yeah, it sort of marks the moment, sets the tone, the mood for so many things.
Yeah.
Even before the action does or the story does.
Exactly, yeah.
What was it like working with Julian Fellowes?
I mean, Julian's fantastic. We don't actually have that much contact. He doesn't really get involved with the music. I think he'd be the first to say that his music's not possibly one of his strong points. we've had some really nice conversations, you know, about it, and you know, and we, you know, we know each other well, and we mainly meet up at kind of, you know, events like, you know, parties or stuff like that. He doesn't tend to get. It's really the what we call here probably the showrunner or the executive producer Gareth Neem. It's really him and I that do the music.
Okay, so and what are those conversations like? Like, give me an example of what something you and Gareth would talk about when he wants this particular kind of music. What does he say to you?
I mean, it's kind of sort of slightly changed over the years. I think when we first started, he mentioned, actually before I'd written anything, he mentioned the West Wing. He wanted that, you know, something kind of, you know, something a bit music, a bit like that. And so I thought I was going to be a bit more political. There was going to be a bit more conflict between upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah.
And that I was going to have to, you know, have a kind of upstairs sort of tone and a downstairs sort of tone. I mean, it didn't work out like that at all. In fact, mm-hmm. I haven't consciously treated upstairs and downstairs, you know, any differently. I mean, people, you know, fall in love whether they're upstairs or downstairs.
Well, and that's kind of a big point of Downton is the show is set in a period, for those listeners who don't know, where the aristocracy and society is really kind of in transition.
Exactly.
Like this whole upstairs downstairs structure that has held for so long is beginning to break down.
That's right. And you know, but you know, really in the end, the long run, the music's kind of been about love and romance, actually, which I kind of sort of took me by surprise. I wasn't really expecting that.
Yeah.
There's also comic moments as well. Again, I wasn't expecting that either, and I don't think any of us were. That just kind of happened by accident.
Yeah.
And then we sort of realised that actually the comic music was working quite well.
Did you write for individual characters? Like, did you have sort of leitmotifs for them?
I leitmotifs for the relationships between characters.
For the relationships.
Yeah, for the relationships. Yeah.
What's an example?
Well, you know, I mean, there's Bates and Anna. I've got several, you know, themes. Matthew and Mary, obviously. Mm-hmm. The house actually was the only one. The house has kind of got its own, you know, sort of theme, you know, which I kept on coming, you know, sort of coming back to.
Yeah.
You know, certainly, I mean, Matthew and Mary had, you know, many tunes because they went through quite a gamut of emotions, and so did Bates and Anna.
Mm-hmm.
So I tended to think of them, you know, as sort of relationship themes.
I've read that the relationship between Mary and Matthew was one of your favorite things to write for? You liked the music that you came up with for their relationship better than others?
Yeah, I did. There was a sort of, I think it was in series two, there was a really big moment on a train station where she says goodbye to him and he's going back to the First World War. And this is actually an example of what Gareth might say to me. They wanted the audience to think that not only was Mary saying goodbye to him, but that we were as well. That he wasn't going to come back. And that was quite a challenge, because there was a kind of romance between them, and it was also quite sad that they weren't together, and there was a lot of unspoken stuff going on, you know, in the scene that the music really had to, you know, convey. I wheel that scene out quite often if I'm giving a lecture. You know, I play it. It's one of those scenes I play without the music, and then I play it with, just to show what a difference, you know, the music can make.
And did you know that when you were writing that sort of goodbye music to Matthew, that it was like musical foreshadowing, or had that been revealed to you yet?
No, I knew he was coming back, but they wanted the audience to think that he wasn't.
Okay.
So,
but ultimately, I mean, he goes away forever.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, he took, yeah, and he, as I've famously said, he took my best tunes to the grave with him.
The jerk.
In fact, I've told him that myself.
That's
How
great.
Dare you?
Who was? I don't know. What was your favorite experience writing on the show? I mean, there are so many things, like writing for Maggie Smith. Did you have interactions with her or write specific music for her?
The whole comic thing, the music, it did happen by accident. I think it was in episode one of series one. There was a scene where there was some sort of noise that they couldn't get rid of in the recording of the dialogue, and I think they decided, well, let's have some music to kind of try and, you know, sort of scrub over it. And it was a funny scene in the kitchen with Mrs. Patmore and Daisy, I think. And so I wrote this thing, and it was kind of, you know, and it was kind of this pizzicato sort of string thing in it, and it did really actually kind of work with the pace of the cutting. And so then we kind of realised that, you know, the humour of the whole show was actually going to be quite important, and so I became more involved, you know, in the sort of and of course the thing about comic music is it's absolutely about the timing, you know, about where you have a chord and how the kind of harmony and the way and the payoff, you know, and the chord and the way that works, and that's got to be, you know, totally, you know, involved with the dialogue. In those scenes I am, you know, I watch it over and over and over again, and if the acting's not very good, you know, you can get bored very, very quickly, because you're listening, you end up saying, oh, please don't say it like that again, but of course with Maggie that never happens, you know, because her timing's just so stunning.
So I'm interested too. I was just thinking about the fact that you know, when you first started doing this show, I guess it was 6 years ago, and then, so you have grown over those years as a composer, not only in just because, you know, you've gained experience, but you've also developed, I'm assuming, relationships with these characters, with the actual, you know, people on set. How would you compare, I guess, your John Lund season 1 to John Lund season 6?
Hey,
I know it's a big question.
Yeah, but no, I mean, well, I'm certainly a lot more confident. I've got very close to, you know, some of the actors and the people, you know, not just to the actors, but, you know, the whole post-production team. And it's been, I quite like the whole concept of a team working together. Yeah. You know, in the classical world, the composer is kind of put on this sort of pedestal, and you should, it's quite a separate thing. You know, even if you're working with an orchestra as a composer, you always feel, you know, there's always a slight antagonism between composer and an orchestra, and that in film that doesn't really happen. You know, you're all kind of, you're all part of a team working to make this thing the best thing it possibly can be. And actually, I quite like that. I mean, a lot of the actors have been really friendly towards me. I think they realise, you know, just what a big part of the whole show, the music, you know, has been. Yeah. So that's been nice, because that's quite unusual. You know, quite often I'll turn up to a cast and crew screening for something and nobody will have any idea who I am because I've never been on set, you know. Not with Downton.
Yeah, with them you've been really close.
That's
really cool. And do you think that sort of having tight knit relationships with the cast and crew, having developed that over 6 years, do you think that's had an effect on your composition for the show?
I'm not sure if it's made that much of a difference in what I'd write, but I mean, it's certainly given me a kind of confidence to sort of try things. You know, I'm not afraid to try things out.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not, but if they don't work, you know, I'm not that unhappy about, you know, trying something else. But I do have that kind of confidence to sort of try to kind of go out there and kind of, you know, try for something kind of slightly different.
Yeah. Whereas you might not have had that at the
beginning.
Might
not have had that, yeah.
Huh. Well, and one thing that you sort of touched on a second ago that we haven't talked about is the instrumentation for the show. What kind of instruments were you working with? What size of orchestra did you work with?
Well, we had like a small string ensemble. Well, not small. I think it was 32 string players. I just had this feeling that we needed I find that strings work incredibly well under dialogue. You know, there's quite a lot of dialogue in the show. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had to be careful about how we were going to make the sound work. The music was going to have to be powerful, but you know, we wanted it to be. What's so great about a string ensemble is it's very, very flexible. You know, it can be very powerful, kind of quiet, but also, you know, you can really, you know, expand and blossom out. I play the piano myself. I've played all the piano on all the episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That I did not know. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's partly because I just know how I want it to be played.
So why tell someone else to do it?
Yeah, and you know, actually, there's most classical pianists who I've heard attempt to do it they're just too polite. They always play that, you know, that beginning as if it's like, you know, Mozart or something. You know, it needs to be more Elton John.
That's awesome. You know, I think that's a perfect place to stop. Well, actually, no, I have one last question for you, and that is, what are you working on right now?
I've just finished the second series of Grantchester, which is another PBS show. I'm doing another series of The Last Kingdom, which was a BBC America show about Vikings and Saxons, and then another series of The White Queen.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I'm doing a lot of returning series at the moment. I don't know quite how I'm going to fit them all in. And then there's talk of a Downton movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, it's not definite, but yeah. I mean, at the moment, everybody's working, you know, on it to try and get it going.
That's so
it's not
great.
Finished, I'm afraid. It's not over.
It'll never be over. You know, this is starting to sound like an American series. We just like liked about British series that they sort of they keep things brief. Like some of my favorite shows have been British shows because they go out on a high note.
Yeah,
like three seasons, you're done.
No, I know. I mean, six seasons is what is the most I've ever done.
Yeah, that's really long for a British series. Mm. And then with American shows, they'll go on for 9-10 seasons.
Yeah.
Long past, and it's just like, oh, well, okay.
If there's money to be made, I suppose. You know, it's just, yeah.
But yeah, Downton is turning into one of those American things. But thankfully, it's managed to say good the entire time.
I think it's a good time to leave.
Yeah, I think they timed it well.
Yeah.
Well, John, it's been really great to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure.
Well, good luck in your future adventures. And if there's a Downton movie, we look forward to hearing more of your music.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.
Okay, everybody, that does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more Classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. You can also follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Tumblr, SoundCloud. Email me at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Thanks today to audio producer Todd Lord of Toddington Holslander for making us sound good. Thanks to editor Mark DiClaudio for his piercing, surprisingly lifelike eyes. Many thanks to composer George Heathcote for our Music Works theme music. Find out more about George and hear some of his music at georgeheathcotemusic.com. Thanks to John Lund for being here today. Thanks to me for saying words, but most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time.